seated. Brother Moore has been in Nashville. It wasn't broadcast because it was a RMAI retreat. And they had, I think, somewhere around, I don't want to quote, over 100 ministers, I think, there from churches in Kentucky and Tennessee. I think that was correct. Is that right? Yeah. I think it went really good. So when you have like 100-120 churches there, that's a lot of people. Because it's just the pastors, and then they go back and take these things to their churches. But I'm thinking, I got to look at the calendar again, but I'm thinking he's going to be one of the places next weekend. So, yes, and not me. So, yeah, well, let me make sure I got this turned off so it don't be ringing during the service. It says ring, so we better put it on silent. So I had something come up on my heart, and I think it's, you know, I could have named it, you know, three different things, but by the end of the service, I'm going to let you pick a title. You see what you think. See which one you like the best. And just don't let me forget.
All right.
Okay? Are y'all still here? Y'all were here earlier. Are y'all still here? You know, at the beginning of the service, I thought, I looked up there, where she's gone now, but I thought, who's that woman at the piano? Did y'all notice Carrie's hair today? Didn't she look really pretty? Yeah, yeah. She looked really good. And then I looked back here and I saw Morgan and I thought, he's going to have to hit the aisle. He was dancing so hard. Yeah, yeah. He's supposed to be on the platform and he's back here dancing. I thought, well, what's going on today? Everybody's all mixed up today. So, but it's going to be a good day. Good, good day. You know, sometimes you think the world would be a better place. We know the world would be a better place without the devil. Yeah, yeah. But you also sometimes think it would be a better place without people. You ever think that? If you didn't have to deal with people, you know, if you didn't have to deal with your family, or if you didn't have to deal with your people at work, or if you didn't have to deal with the people driving.
Yes.
Or if you didn't. Or if you didn't have to deal with your kids, or if you didn't have to deal with the teachers, or if you didn't have to deal with, you know, the principals, or if you didn't have to deal with the politicians, or if you didn't have to deal with, you know, people. You know what I'm talking about. It could be so much easier, you know? Or your spouse, some of you, you know, it could be a little bit easier. Or, see, there's Carrie. Doesn't she look beautiful? Yeah, look at her. She's embarrassed, but she does look beautiful. Yeah. Or, even if we didn't have to deal with worst case scenario, our own flesh. Oh, listen at the moans. Our own flesh. You know, the scripture says we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust, our flesh, and enticed, you know. And not only just that, but when you go back to that first one again, the devil, when he attacks, you know, and you get sick. Or you get broke and your flesh has to deal with all these things. Or, you know, you do things you know you're not supposed to do with your flesh. But if we can get rid of those three things, it would be a great place. You know? We could just get on our path and just go straight ahead and la la and be happy and accomplish what the Lord's asked us to accomplish. Wouldn't that just be great? Yeah. You ever started doing something that the Lord told you to do? Yeah, you're guessing what's coming up? And all along the way, you got sidetracked and stopped and attacked and you never got there? Just all along the way, there was something that pulled you over here. And something that pulled you over here. And something that stopped you over here. And you didn't have the money. And you didn't have the body. And you didn't have the time. And you didn't have the...
Yes.
And you just never, ever, ever got to do what the Lord asked you to do. the devil's plan for each and every person that's in here. That's his major, major thing. So if we didn't have the devil, let's review him again. If we didn't have the devil trying to stop us, and we didn't have other people trying to get in our way all the time, you know? And we didn't have our own flesh causing us problems, telling us, oh, we'll just sleep in another hour. Just miss church today, it'll be all right. We can do everything the Lord asked us to do. Because we just wake up just spry. You ever see those people doing all those exercise, that new exercise thing that's out where they're doing all these crazy things and bumping up and down on the floor and doing planks and all that stuff? And you think, no. You just look at it and you say no. And you just go on about your business, you know? But, you know, it looks good, you know, but you ain't doing it. Well, maybe some of you are. Where's Max and Tracy? But, you know, there's just some things your flesh is not wanting to do today, you know. But there is some things that we are supposed to do. And we're supposed to find out what they are. You know, we weren't just put down here to eat candy bars and popcorn and watch TV and then go on and see Jesus. You know, there's something that we're supposed to do, each and every one of us. Now, I don't always feel like being up here is one of the things I'm supposed to do, but there is something I'm supposed to do. Okay? And I'm supposed to find out what it is. Read with me Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren or brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now read that next word with me. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Amen. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I forget those things which are behind. Do you know why I'm going to say the biggest percentage of people don't accomplish what the Lord asked them to accomplish? Because they won't forget. They won't forget whatever bad happened in their life. They won't forget they got divorced. And all the bad things that happened with that, and all the feelings that came along with it. They won't forget somebody that died that was close to them and think they just can't go on without them. They won't forget that they lost a child or had an abortion.
Come on. Yes.
They won't forget that they had an affair and caused trouble. They won't forget that they stole that. They won't forget that they went to prison. They won't forget.
Thank you, Lord. Come on.
Did they repent? Yeah.
Yes.
But it says, forgetting the... Did Paul mess up?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Paul messed up.
Yes.
And he's saying this. Paul tried to kill every Christian he could find. And he's saying, I have to forget those things I did yesterday.
Yes.
All the bad stuff I did. And I have to shake it off. And if I have to take water and wash my mind and do the word, the washing of the water with the word. And wash my mind. And I have to wake up today like it's new. And not think about what I did yesterday.
Yes.
How many of of you will honestly say that the devil tries to press your mind about something you did in the past. Look it. And he will do his best when you get a little bit ahead to kick you and say, you don't deserve that.
Right.
You can't have that. You can't get up in front of people and say that because of what you did. Nobody will listen to you. Who do you think you are? And your answer should be, I'm a child of God. The righteousness of God in Christ is who I am. Mr. Devil, don't even call him Mr. He don't deserve Mr. Dumb devil. I'm a child of God. I'm washed in the blood. I'm clean. That's who you are. Then you get up and you throw your arms back and your chest out.
Come on.
And you start back on your walk to whatever God called you to do.
Yes.
Now, you may have even forgotten what your call was. Because you've been, it's been so long and you've been wallowing in whatever it was that you did.
Yes.
Or whatever mistake you made. Or you let the devil convince you that you were just unworthy to even hear what you were supposed to do. But you know what? God is faithful. And if you'll just ask him, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Guess what? He needs everybody he can get. You see how many empty seats there are in here? He needs everybody he can get. And if you'll just ask him, Lord, you ask us, what can we do? We're going to tell you. And you think the Lord is any different? You ask him, what can I do? He's going to tell you what you can do. Because the laborers are few. He didn't say, we got too many laborers. He said, the laborers are few. So you go to him and you say, Lord, what can I do for you? He's going to tell you what to do.
Amen.
And maybe what he told you to do when you were 16 ain't the same as 72. But he's going to tell you. So he says, pressing toward the mark. That was my title, one of my titles.
Okay.
So we'll get through it maybe. Pressing toward the prize. Pressing toward the prize. Reaching the prize. There is a prize.
Yes.
And it's not just heaven.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
We all have prizes all along the way.
Yes.
And it's not just reaching heaven.
Yes.
I've received a lot of prizes all along my way for things that we've done. But you know what? We didn't know we were going to be getting those prizes all along the way.
Yes.
The Lord said, do this. And we stepped out to do it. And we got to this point and there was a prize.
Come on. Hallelujah.
But you know what? When we took off to go, take for instance, you've heard the story, when we took off to go to Ramah, he didn't bother to tell us. He said, I want you to go to Ramah. Now, he did not bother to tell us we were going to be broke. Do you understand what I'm saying? He just said, go. He didn't bother to tell us we were not going to have the money to eat part of the time. He just said, go. And he didn't bother to tell us that we were going to have to live at Shoot 'em Up Alley. And he didn't bother to tell us that when we first got there, we would be there and we would be having to spend our tuition money. And that we would go to a hotel because the first night we thought about staying in the vehicle, but then we didn't think wisely about it. And there weren't all the apartments that there are now. The Hardesty Company hadn't started doing their thing yet, but I cried every day because I thought, we got to find a place to live. There was no place to live. And I cried because we're spending the money that he needs to start school. didn't bother to tell us that. But you know what? We just kept taking one step. And then we took another step. And then we took another step. And the day before school started, well, 2 days before school started, we found the apartment at Shoot 'Em Up Valley. It was beautiful. It had a sofa that was sitting on tin cans. It had a school of metaphysics to the left and a motorcycle gang to the right, or the other way around. It was not very nice. But you know what? It did what we needed it to do for the time. And the rent was really cheap. And the first night, we were so happy that we'd found a place that was furnished, because we didn't take furniture. And the first night, the welcome committee came. Mm-hmm. And siphoned all the gas out of our vehicle. But you know what? Here's the kicker. We did not quit.
Amen.
We did not plan where Keith is not going to school tomorrow. He and I still said, you're getting up, going tomorrow. He didn't have all of his tuition money. We didn't have gas to go. Nothing. The plan was what? You're going. Well, about that time, guess what? God came. And he showed up through my parents. And they came and they brought gas money and they brought tuition money. Step one, we could have quit. Easily quit. It would have been real easy to say, there's no place for us to live. We got to go back. Then we don't have money for tuition. We got to turn around and go back. Do you know how many people, once Keith got to school, we'd read, I was over the admissions office for a while, and we'd read applications this tall, but we would talk to people all the time that say, we're supposed to go to school. We know we're supposed to go. We're supposed to be there next year. And we'd look for them. We'd know them. And we'd look for them, and they'd say, oh, no. This came up. And this came up. And this came up. And this came up. What path did their life take when they knew they were supposed to be there and they stayed there? Did their lives take a different path than what God intended for it to take?
Yes.
Would our life have taken a different path if we would have said, well, we don't have the money to do this, so we got to do this?
Yes.
So we took that path. What does goal mean? It says to do or to achieve a purpose, an aim, a plan, an ambition, an objective, a mission.
Yes.
We did not know the end result. And that's what God does to you and 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 you. He's not going to tell us what his end plan is for our life. He's going to tell you, take the first step, just like he did for us to go there.
Amen.
Okay, but then after just a little bit, he started working things out differently. And the money started to come a little bit. Matter of fact, it started to come so much that we got in trouble with it a little bit. That's a story for another day, but turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 4. As you're going along, and God has called you to do something, this is the reason that 80% of people quit. What about Paul? This is what he says. Has any of you ever experienced what Paul experienced? Troubled on every side. In despair. Forsaken, persecuted, cast down. People don't understand that that is the devil's job. Think about Joseph. He was 17 when his brothers threw him into the pit. Now, I want you to envision your life when you were 17. Okay? Did God have a plan for it at that time? Just like ours. He threw him in the pit. And did he think his life was over? Did you know what your life would be at 30? Could you see it?
No.
It's the same way with him. Were there distresses? Were there things he had to go through to get to that?
Yes.
Is there times all along the way? I'm trying to get to a point and I can't quite get my path there. That you're in the middle of something and you do not see the end result of what the Lord has for you. Because the devil has blocked your vision in seeing what you're supposed to see. Okay, I'll tell you the story about the hangar that we were supposed to get. I think most of you have heard that story, and but I don't know if you heard the whole thing. When we first came here, of course, we had to fly into there where the hangars were. Well, Keith saw, of course, all the hangars, but we ended up at a different airport because there were no hangars at the Sarasota airport. And but Keith, when we flew in, he had his eye on this particular hangar. But we went through a lot of ordeals at the hangars where we were. Well, time passed, and I came up and asked about this one hangar that was smaller than the hangar that we were doing. And we got this hangar, which was a step into the right direction. The guy gave it to us for a really good price, and that's a story within itself. But then there was still this other hangar that was bigger and better, which Keith actually has now, that at the time when we got the hangar we were in wouldn't hold the next plane. The wings, it would have chopped them off. And we started looking at that hangar. Well, in the process of looking at the hangar, we made a deal with the people that owned it. And we got it for a really good price. And we signed the contract, and we were supposed to go to closing. Well, the day came for the closing, and I was headed to the closing. And the guy that owned, at airports, there's people that own the land and there's people that own the hangar. And the guy that owned the land called and said, you can't buy that hangar because I'm not going to sell the land lease with the hangar, so it can't be done. And he bought the hangar from the people that owned the land and kind of did the deal out from underneath us. Well, we could have fought it. We could have gone to court, like a lot of people do.
Right.
We just had another case in our subdivision in Branson. Dave is sitting there. He can nod his head. Karen's sitting there. There was this guy trying to do this deal, and they kept saying, all the other people in the subdivision, let's take him to court. And we were like, we're not going to court. And Dave told me this the other day. He said, you know, last week or week before, you said write something down on a card. He said, so I wrote this down on a card. And this thing had been going on, I don't even remember how long. But he said, I wrote this scripture down on a card. And he said, I put it up. And I think it was like 3 days, 2 days, they called and told us the case has been dismissed. We have people call here all the time, and I'm sure you have it all the time, people calling and saying, you have been selected as a part of a group because this is going to court. Mm-hmm. This is going to court. And so they'll contact me and say, do you want to be a part of this lawsuit? You could get this amount of money. I say, not me. Not me. I'm not suing anybody. Why do you say that, Mrs. Moore? You could get some money. Do you know money is not the most important thing? Do you know what is the most important thing? People and your peace of mind. Because if you sue somebody, you've opened yourself wide open to somebody to sue you. We've got a lot of friends that are constantly getting sued. Now, I don't know what they did to constantly get sued, but I just have to wonder. Now, on this hangar, when that happened that day, we drove out there, Keith and I. And we looked at the hangar. And we had a major choice at that moment. Just like you have a major choice at that moment in your life, what to do. Do you sue? Do you get mad? Do you get angry? Do you get bitter? Do you say ugly things about them?
That's so good. Thank you.
What do you do in a time that someone has done something negative against you? And Keith looked at me and I looked at him and Keith said, it's not over. And he said, this is one of the most important things. We don't talk negative about this. We don't talk negative about him. We don't think negative about it. We only say it's ours. And we sat there, and guess what we did? We sat there and we thanked God for our hangar.
Amen.
That somebody else had just bought again. And you know what we did? We forgot about what that man did to us. Forgot about those things which are behind us. And we pressed forward to the thing that was ahead of us. We didn't sit there and think about anything negative about it. We went ahead and bought the airplane that had to fit in that hangar. We didn't wait. We went ahead and bought the airplane that wouldn't fit in the other hangar, that would only fit in that hangar. And we said nothing negative about the man. Now, the man was pretty bad. Nobody else on the field wanted to deal with him. When there's something came up on that field that had to be dealt with, people would call me to deal with the man. And you know why I could deal with him? Because I let him talk. How many of you are here are from the deep south? How's your kids? How's your mama? What's going on? How's your businesses doing? 30 minutes of that before I ever told him what I wanted to say.
Wow.
Come on.
I genuinely cared about him.
Yes.
Before I ever told him what I needed from him. Now, I say that that's a deep South thing, but that's just a God thing.
Amen.
It's just a God thing to care about somebody else more than you care about what you want from them.
Yes.
And he talked to me. So, we were working out a deal with this man, and he kept saying no because of the other people. It was like a chain. We were getting this hanger if I sold our old hanger to this other guy, and if he sold his hanger to another guy, and all of these were contingent upon the land leases to this main guy that nobody could deal with. Do you understand that? So I was having to work out their land lease with him and their land lease with him, and nobody could work with him. They kept getting mad at him. So the day before that we were supposed to close, the one that was buying our hangar got mad at him. And at 2:00 in the morning, he called, "I can't deal with this man. I'm not doing the deal. We're done." Not our deal, but his deal. So the main guy calls me and says, "I'm not doing the deal. Now we're going to get the airplane tomorrow morning at 8:00. We're done. Don't even call me about it again. Don't talk to me about it again. I'm done." Where do you go from there? Forget those things which are behind you and press toward the mark. The next morning I woke up and I called him. And I said, "You know what? Da 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 da. And what if?" And he said, "I like that. Okay, be fine. But we still have to possibly do this, and I don't know if he's going to want to do that." So I didn't know. So here we are. We get in the plane. We fly back to the hangar. Now, all of our stuff is out of the other hangar. Now, you're talking about a lot of stuff. All your equipment, all your jacks is sitting out on the ramp in La La Land. And you can't leave it there because the airport authority is coming around, driving around, looking to see why all that stuff is out there on the ramp. Amen. And we touch down, and I'm on the phone. And Keith says, "Do we have a hangar? Where do we go?" And at that moment, he says, "It's yours." Now, the reason that I'm going into this with you is because each and every person in here has had an opportunity to quit, has had an opportunity to get mad, has had an opportunity to, the 12th hour of something, throw up their hands and say, "It's not going to work." And that's where the devil wants to get every person in here. To get you at that point to where it is not going to work. You can't figure out a way to make it work. You've tried to get the money. You've tried to get healed. You've tried to get your marriage to work. You've tried to get your life to work. And he tries everything he can to get you to that point. Look at the children of Israel getting to the Red Sea. It was the last absolute minute. Why does God seem to take... Why couldn't he have parted that 12 miles back so that when they got there, they could just look up there and smile and say, "Yeah, we can go on through. Then you can kill all those people behind us or close it behind..." You know? Why couldn't he do that? And why couldn't he, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, change somebody's mind before he threw them in that fiery furnace. And why couldn't he give you the money to pay your light bill 2 weeks ahead of time instead of the day before? Just like that woman in Canada that was in that service that night. Now, you know the Lord had to lead her to go to that service in Canada that night. We got some CD cassettes the other day. I don't think we found a cassette player yet, did we? Rachel and Jordan is shaking their head. They hadn't been able to listen to it yet. So I'm sure somebody has a cassette player. They're not that old, but we didn't get one. We thought ours worked, and two of them didn't work. So that told the exact scenario of that. But that woman to come to that service, that they were turning off her lights the next day, and the Lord told me the exact amount, and she was there in the service, and we gave her the money. Why did it wait till the very last second? Somebody tell me. There's the word. Trust. Trust. All through our lives, things come up. And people try to make it off to the devil. And he does push us. And he can do some things. And the Lord has allowed some things like he did with Job. But things happen in our lives that we have to wake up in the morning and decide, do I trust the Lord to do this for me? Can I trust him? Does he love me enough to make this happen in my life? You know, I say all the time, I'm God's favorite.
I'm his favorite too. Thank you, Lord.
But you can be his favorite too, because what it takes is trust. Keith has told the story, because we were there. We were there at that midnight hour, and we had bills to pay. And I said, Keith, I know we're in faith. I know we are, so where is the money? And I'd go to him. I'm a little concerned to touch anybody now. That the one lady got a little upset with me, you know, about me touching her. So I'm going to touch Edward anyway, because if he gets mad, he'll get over it. So I said, Keith, where's the money? Where's the money? Where's the money? And I'd harass him. Keith and I have this relationship that I punch him all the time. You know, I'm constantly punching him, you know. I won't punch Edward, but, you know, I constantly am punching him. I said, where's the money? Where's the money? You know, and he said, Phil, stop. I don't know if he was just wanting me to stop punching him or what, but anyway. He said, Phil, look at me. He said, do you believe? And I'm going to tell you. He said, do you believe Brother Hagin can hear from God? And I said, I absolutely do. He said, if God has to deal with Brother Hagin, you mark my word. If God has to bring it to us in a paper sack through a puppy dog, you mark my word. He will get it to us in time. I kid you not. Keith was in his office the next day. Brother Hagin had not come to his office yet. We did not know them at that point. Keith was still just barely finishing school, barely in contact with them at that point. Here comes Brother Hagin trotting up to his office. He says, here, I want to give you something. Hands him more than enough money to pay all of our bills. Now that's the God and Father that we serve. Mm-hmm. Father that we serve. I don't care what your deal is. You've not gone past the midnight hour. You just think you have. It's like that car we were believing for. You've heard us tell it. We were believing for a car. But we put a timeline on it. We said, when the date gets to be this and the time gets to be this, we'll have the car. You would have thought Keith was blonde too. To do that. But we had heard somebody do it.
Right.
So we did it.
Yeah.
Well, a few years later, the Lord dealt with Keith, of course. I didn't tell you to put a time limit on that. Where does the scripture say put a time limit on something? He said, go back and pick that up and you can have it. It wasn't any time till the guy that I was working for said, you need a new car. And I thought, yeah, you know I do. I must have been late for work a few times. I don't know. But he said, you need a new car. And I said, yeah, I know. Sorry. And he said, no, that's not what I mean. He said, I want you to go and pick out a car. And I said, what kind of car? He said, whatever you want. I said, whatever I want? He said, whatever you want. I can tell you this part, though. The Lord had been helping me because Keith and I needed money so bad. This part gets left out a lot of times. We needed money so bad that I was believing God every week because I got a bonus on all the new patients we got in. So I was believing God for new patients to come in, and his practice was growing so big, it was busting out at the seams. We had to get a new office and knock out the walls. So a new car to him was great. So he says, go get a new car. So I went and got a new car. So it was the very car that we had believed for, I don't remember how many years before that. Keith's got a memory for that kind of stuff. I have to ask him how old I am. How old am I going to be this year? And he says, Phil, you add one to... I said, what? Just tell me how old I am. Just add one to the year and da-da-da. No, just how old am I? What's the need in keeping up with it? You're going to be that old anyway. You are what you are.
That's right.
And people try to hide it like it's going to matter, but what does it matter? What does it matter? Anyhow, but the devil will try to stop you from getting those things. But you have to forget where you messed up in the past.
Yes.
Forget it.
Yes.
Say, forget it.
Forget it.
Forget it. How many of you are believing for things? How many of you dropped those things? We've all done it. We've all forgotten things that we were believing for. A new house, a new car, a baby. Healed of cancer. And you get in the middle of the cancer and you think, too hard. Too hard. Forget it. Too hard. But it's not too hard for God.
Amen.
If you're trying to do it by yourself, it's too stinking hard. Anything you try to do. Brother Hagin used to say that like this, I can't heal a fly's eyeball or a gnat's wing. You can't. But God can. God can do it all. And he wants to do it all. He said, we are God's own handiwork, Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which God has predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the bad life.
Good life.
Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, how do we live this good life? By giving up on it?
No.
And quitting? and remembering all the bad that we did. No. We start walking that way, and we keep walking that way, and we keep trusting Him. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, we keep putting one foot in front of the other, and we keep saying, I trust you. That's the only thing that comes out of our mouth. Not why, not how come, not how long, not maybe, not I quit, just I trust you. And some of the steps may get tough. I trust you. And today may be a bad day, but I trust you. Then tomorrow may be an easy one. I trust you. And if anybody ever told you they never had to go through anything, look them in the face and say, you're a liar. Because I don't know of a person in this life that hadn't had to go through anything. Because every human being has got to deal with the devil. They do. They've had to at some time or another. And they've had to grow in trust for the Lord.
Amen.
And the more you trust the Lord, the more easier it is to say, I'm God's favorite.
That's right.
Because He's done things for you.
Oh, yes,
and it's easier to trust Him.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
It's harder to trust Him when you've let go of things. I'm so thankful that Keith and I went back and picked up that car.
Yes.
Because it set us on a different path. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't just let it go. We didn't just let go and go back home when we didn't have the tuition money. And they stole all the gas out of our car. We didn't just quit and start. I did cry. I won't say I didn't cry. Because I did. Crying ain't a sin.
Come on.
Woo. It's what you do after you cry.
Yes. Come on.
David had a cry.
Yes.
But he got up and he stirred himself up and he kept going.
Hallelujah.
You may get attacked. And you may get beat down. But be like those old toys we played with when I was a kid in the 60s. You punch them and you punch them and you punch them and they keep getting up again. What were they called? Wobble wobble? Weeble wobble? Yeah. You could punch. They had all kind of faces on them, you know. And they were plastic and you'd blow them up and they had sand or something in the bottom and you'd hit them and hit them and hit them. And they just keep coming back up. That's me. That is me. Is that you?
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes.
You are not a quitter.
That's right.
You're not a quitter. I don't care how many times he tries to knock you down. I don't care if he tries to steal your business. You get up off your butt and you start another one.
That's right.
I've told the story about how many banks told us no. I've told the story about a thousand things about how many times the devil tried to get us to quit in our marriage. But you don't quit. Because if you quit, there's no way you can win. I don't care if you got a broke foot, you bring it on along. And let God heal it on the way. Because well, who was it, those guys that he said, as they went, they were healed?
Yes. Yes. Come on.
As they went, they got rich?
Yes.
As they went, they got delivered?
Yes.
The only way you can win is if you don't quit.
Come on.
There's things people have started in here, and you've got papers laid out. You know, it took me, I don't know how many years. I don't even know. You know, if you would have seen that bedroom, that I was staying in at the first here, the closet was like, my puppies couldn't hardly fit in it. Yeah. But you ought to see my closet now.
Hey.
Some of you have seen it.
Glory to God.
But I didn't quit. Right. And I didn't complain.
There you go.
God don't like murmurers and complainers. He don't like them. He don't like grumblers. And he don't like people that's complaining. Why don't we have the money yet? And you get up and instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for the house that we have.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for my body. It may have a little bit of problem right now, but Lord, you're taking care of that. I know you are. Thank you for the sunshine.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you for my wonderful spouse.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that this leg works. This one may be having a little problem today, but this one works good.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Thank you that I don't look like... Never mind. That was a joke. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Get up, look in the mirror. Be thankful every single day. Thank him. Hey, I'm looking at you. You got stuff to be thankful for.
Amen.
Instead of murmuring and complaining. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they got the promised land. Do you know, you hang around certain people, you're going to lose. And in today's society, you better pick your friends.
Amen.
Or you could wind up in the wilderness. Because there's a lot of people today that ain't trusting God. And they're going to convince you that God don't work anymore. When he does. And if you hang around them, you're going to be like those ones that's going to wax cold and fall away.
All right.
But we need to hold up a standard that God still does the same thing today that he's always done.
Amen.
Because we don't quit.
Hallelujah.
You guys going in for the choir, y'all hang on just a minute. Can y'all hear me? They're shutting the doors on me. Y'all may want to not miss this part. Then y'all can go sing. Y'all can sing from out here if you need to. Y'all may not want to miss this part. Because the Lord told me to do something when I was standing over there when I came out. How many of you remember how bad it got for Job? Raise your hand if you remember. Put Branson on the screen. I want to see how many people remember how bad it got for Job. Y'all all remember how bad it got for Job? Y'all remember how he got free? He repented? Zipped his mouth? Then he prayed for somebody else and quit thinking about his own problems.
Right.
Forgot about what was going on with him and started praying for somebody else. Do you know how easy it is to get up every day and just think about what's going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy. So I got an assignment for you right now. I want you to find somebody in here and make them your new faith buddy. And I want you to find out what's going on with them. You don't have to tell everybody. And I'm going to trust that these people keep their mouth shut because, you know what? You don't want to sow talking. Huh? Huh? Find you somebody to pray with you. Women to women, men to men. Find you somebody to pray with. and pray for their, you can just say finances, you can say healing. You don't have to go into detail and say, I've got a growth on my elbow that needs, you don't have to go into detail. But you can say marriage, you can say, you don't want to say the past because we're forgetting the past.
Right?
How many of you are already forgetting the past? You already forgot it. You obey the word, right? The first thing we do is obey the word. Find you somebody. We got plenty of time. Plenty of time. How many of you are willing to do this? Not everybody. You don't have to do it. I'm not going to make you do it. But if you want to be free, if you believe that I can hear from God, amen. This is what the Lord said do. That's all I can say. So let's get up. Let's mosey around. This auditorium is really big. And find you somebody to pray with. It shouldn't take long. But do it in faith. When he prayed for his friends. It's better not to just pick somebody on top of you. Father God, I lift up everybody and all out there on the internet. And I pray for them. I'm praying for my friends, my partners, each and every person that's not in this service. And I say, Lord, lift them up. Whatever's been going on in their lives, Father, we join our faith with theirs. And we say, free. Free in their bodies. Free in their minds. Free in their finances. Bring them up to another level, Lord. We ask you to show them exactly what it is that the Lord would have them do. Show them again the things that the Lord has called them to do. Bring it to their remembrance. Help them to see what you want them to do. Stir them up. Stir them up, Lord. Show them again the thing that you had them to believe for. Help them to get it. Help them to know it. And you can help them to receive it in Jesus' name. We ask you for these things for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing these things. And for everyone in both auditoriums, we ask you for these things. Oh, she se ne te toto lolo croso toto. Ye se la mondo dolo croso biandale le boro soto tolo me che sita. She le le mondo lolo to soto. We pray for our friends. We ask you, Father. Do bleke shete le mondolo preke sita la pototo. Li le mondolo ko soto. Me ke lende li de bototo do brenge sata lengi shata. Ye dala longo soto lo pre se te te. Dingala lo lo ko soto lo pre sandalo poko soto lo me sita. Lika sata lenge she te lenge sata. Lila landolo loko soto loko shoto. Teke si sata langi shata la sista. Yila to besholo sendalis tistala. Inga la to peke shi tandila potolo me sita la bos sotolo si sandalo ko sotolo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Singers, if you're done, you can go up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Singers and players, if y'all are done, you can go back up. Jade, y'all can go back up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. If you're done, make your way back to your seats. I want to read you this one scripture before we're going. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I trust you. You are.
We all know it, but it never hurts to be reminded of it. This is the Amplified. Now unto Him. It's Ephesians 3:20.
Thank you, Lord.
Now unto Him, who by the action of His power, who is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and to do super abundantly, far above all we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. You can dream pretty high. Well, He can do beyond what we can think or dream. So give Him a chance. Give Him a chance. Be His favorite. Trust Him to do bigger and better in your life than you've ever, ever had. Do not quit. Trust Him. Say, I'm not a quitter. I will do. I will trust. This is what I thought about doing the title, Time Tries Trust. Okay? Or I'm Not a Quitter. Y'all pick the title. Huh? Reach. Time Tries Trust? Yeah? I'm not a quitter? Reach for the prize? Huh? Forget it? Oh, they named a new one. Forget it! Forget it. Well, the Lord is good, y'all, and He loves us.
Amen.
And He wants us to attain to everything our heart can desire and beyond what our heart can desire. He's a good, 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 good Father God. Do you know that? Glory to God. Edward, come up here and dismiss us, and we'll see you guys. And I'm expecting Keith to be around somewhere next weekend. So y'all, everybody come, all right, and invite somebody. Glory to God.